Is it possible that a Sotapanna doesn't know that he is a Sotapanna? Right?
So what is Panya?
No, Christians seems to recall the Sutta saying that.
Same thing.
I have a vague memory that someone didn't know they were a Sotapanna.
What experience is Nibbana?
Panya? Yeah. No, I just wanted it to... We didn't think it was possible when we were discussing it yesterday, but there was just this vague remembrance.
But her point is good about the five sense doors and the mind door, and you said something about watching, or how do you see it?
We were talking about what I've been doing or what I think about this session, and I think it's very useful because it's like reviewing oneself, because we're trying to practice every moment, but many times it sort of slips through, and this kind of session is like, okay, come back and review ourselves and promise to oneself again that I will practice more and try to keep it as every watch to thinking every moment.
So what's the point of the practice?
For me, my point is not to do any harm to oneself and to others.
At what time does you harm yourself and the others?
Any time, could be any time.
You mean the kilesa harms? The kilesa is harmful to you and also to others when it's done through body and speech. Do you have to do that? Or if you know that it's not right, and then that understanding can prevent you from doing it?
Well, the problem is, when is the right?
For now. Can there be prevention of akusala moment?
The word samadhi is, I always question, not question, but it's like, well, it would be nice to know what is right.
What is right and what is wrong, you mean? Yeah.
So, it would be nice if
when there is no understanding of reality right now, as it is, can we say that that is akusala moment? Because many people would like to have no akusala moments at all. But at this moment of seeing and not knowing, not understanding it as a reality, is that moment without understanding is akusala?
Could be, I think.
So how can we prevent not having it at all?
Well, once we reach the state of understanding of reality, or seeing reality as it is, then
is developing the understanding of reality right now, at any time and at any place.
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm.
It can be now. But when it does not arise, you know the conditions why it does not arise. Because you thrive to have it arise. But now, when awareness and understanding does not arise, do you know the reason why? Can it arise by your will?
Can it arise
by your intention to have it arise?
I don't think so.
So, what conditions is arising? There must be conditions for the arising of all or any reality. For example, seeing needs conditions for its arising. As seeing needs its conditions for its arising, sammasati also must have right conditions for its arising as well. If we don't know the conditions for the arising of sammasati, sammasati cannot arise. Even we try, or even we like to have it to arise. So the understanding is the best thing, to have no akusala, no ignorance. Otherwise nobody can hinder the arising of akusala as soon as they're seeing and hearing, thinking.
When you say that we do not know the conditions for sammasati to arise, obviously there's no self to decide after hearing about what the conditions are, like hearing the Dhamma and being with wise friends. Does it also involve the process of beginning to understand what is not sati, sammasati, or the wrong paths? Because if we don't hear about the right path, we go the wrong path.
Or we do not know what condition sammasati, so we try to have it by different means.
And this seems to be particularly related to Buddhism, because there wouldn't even be the idea of sati outside Buddhism, wrong or right.
There is only the teachings about not doing ill deeds and doing good deeds.
Are you saying that not doing ill deeds is not
right understanding about realities? Okay. Just by knowing that it's unagreeable.
Because it's
disagreeable.
Common to other teachings. Yeah. Because it's common to other teachings, yeah. Also. So is it not correct then to say that the aim of practice is to avoid doing akusala?
Mm-hmm. That's what you said?
Can't.
Only that is not enough because the root is still there, not eradicated yet. So the teachings of Buddha help people to understand how to eradicate the roots of kilesa.
So right path, wrong path. Right path, I understand. Does wrong path mean anything else, whether you've heard about right path or not? Anything else that one follows, even if you have no beliefs? Could you call that wrong path?
Anything else is the means which cannot understand reality right now.
It's wrong path.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, there are specific chetasikas corresponding to the wrong paths too.
There are 8 wrong paths too, right opposite to the right path.
But you just said if it's not right path, it's wrong path. But at other moments of other kinds of kusala, it's not right path, but it's not wrong path.
Yeah. Because when we talk about the Eightfold Path, we mean the development of panya that can penetrate the noble truths, the true nature of realities right now.
But what I mean is, for example, if there's a moment of reflection, wholesome reflection on parts of the body, it's not right path, it's not satipatthana, it's not going to lead out of samsara, but if it's kusala, then it's not wrong path, it's not wrong anything, it's kusala, but it's not right path.
Just to go back to a point that came up earlier, this is not meant to be any kind of comparison between Theravada Mahayana, but I think we have to realize that what is in the texts, as it were, and what is the correct understanding of development of understanding are not necessarily the same thing. One can be an Abhidhamma scholar or know the texts in great detail, but have wrong idea about development of understanding. So my own idea is that what's important is not what is in this text or that set of texts, or in the Abhidhamma versus the suttas, or in Mahayana versus Theravada or whatever. But what is important is the correct theoretical understanding about the practice, which is the development of understanding.
Realities.
And understanding of realities, of dhammas.
But when right understanding does arise, it does corroborate what is in the
Pitaka. As one knows that what one is studying is reality right now.
Yes. The truth is that a lot of our discussion here is theoretical because we may not have the actual experience of understanding.
Right.
So it is the universal human condition to try to bridge that gap, and it's just, you know, throughout all walks of life, work or whatever, to bridge the gap of theoretical to actual understanding realities. And this is probably why we're here in the efforts to do so, but we just constantly have to work with moving ourselves from theoretical to a deeper understanding. And how do we do this?
I think when we talk about bridging the gap, though, we acknowledge that the conceptual understanding has to precede the direct experience. The correct conceptual understanding has to precede the direct understanding.
What do you think about that?
I think that each word should be correctly understood. Otherwise, we'll misinterpret what we are saying, like study. Study is not just listening or reading. That is just reading. But study is even one word that you heard, there should be the development of understanding that meaning clearer and clearer and deeper and deeper. For example, just one word, the word Dhamma. It's easy to say everything is Dhamma, but what is everything and what Dhamma it is? Because whatever appears are quite different from eyes to ears, nose, tongue and body. Always new one, conditioned, arising and falling away. So when we think that we are studying Dhamma, it's not just reading or hearing, but it's the considering carefully what Dhamma is. And one will have one's own understanding and clearer understanding. For example, we talk about whatever is seen now, it's Dhamma. Why? Because it's real. It's uncontrollable, and it's something that we have no idea about it before we study. For example, we keep on the idea of seeing people and things all the time in our lives. But what is seen? What is that particular or exact reality which is seen? Can a being be seen? Or what is that which can be seen? By study or considered like this, we understand Dhamma as it is, that whatever arises and appears, no matter it's thinking, pleasant feeling, or whatever it is, must be Dhamma. That which has arisen, so it can appear, and it cannot stay, it has to fall away. And there is also Dhamma at each moment, as long as one lives. For example, there is seeing as soon as one wakes up, and the whole day there's hearing, smelling. We really do not understand them as they are at all, because we take the whole for something permanent. And is that right? Or that is not right? And should that be discerned and penetrate to understand it as it is through reading, hearing and considering the right path to know it, to experience it? And this is the study and the understanding of Dhamma. So whenever there is the understanding of Dhamma, one cannot deny Abhidhamma at all. Because Abhidhamma shows that that which is Dhamma is conditioned, so it arises and it doesn't belong to anyone at all. So it will gradually eliminate the idea of self, because it's the studying of elements, not study of I. To have better and better understanding of non-self and just realities as they are. So even the term study doesn't mean reading without any understanding that what one is studying is the understanding, developing the understanding of reality which is now appearing. Otherwise it's only reading, hearing, no understanding, thinking differently from it should be known as it is.
But there's always thinking about...
Thinking is Dhamma.
Yeah, about what is seen, so it seems that we never know visible objects.
That's why when one studies thinking, one should know what thinking is instead of I am thinking. But what thinking is? It's real. Can the eye, the seeing think? Can hearing think? Different moment, different realities, different element. And one will begin to see elements as not self. Little by little.
Can you say something about the importance of Dithuchukam? Because that apparently that seems to be what we're doing, coming
not
here.
Not we, but the Kama. Yes. See realities again. Come back to realities, because when we read Sutta, we think that Buddha taught us to do this and that, but actually he just taught us to understand realities. And it depends on the accumulation of the person who listens.
What I'm saying is that it seems to be the dominating thing in this present stage of development in terms of the teachings.
And Dithuchukam is the moment of citta which can see realities correctly. Kusala as kusala, akusala as akusala. So it's now.
Is that pariyati? Is that Dithuchukam?
With our Paramatta Dhamma, with our realities, can there be just pariyatti to do anything? Can pariyatti do anything? It's the realities which have their own functions.
Oh, yes. I understand that. But those realities are there at the moment of pariyatti.
Now?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We are talking about Dhamma. Now it's Dhamma. All are Dhammas.